Okay, today we are beginning Romans chapter 6. And here we see the focus of the book of Romans shifting. Before chapter 6, the focus has clearly been on the gift of justification. Now the focus of chapter 6, 7, and 8 goes to sanctification. So justification and sanctification. And what's the difference? I think we kind of have a slide up here. Justification is when we receive the gift that gives us eternal life. It declares us righteous. We refer to that being regenerated, being saved. That's usually a point in time, one point in time. Sanctification is also part of our salvation, and it begins at the point of justification, and it continues until we see Jesus face to face. Now, we could, of course, make a case biblically that process of sanctification, that God, even before we become regenerated, he's working things in our life, preparing it. But for the sake of simplicity, let's just kind of say it this way, that sanctification begins at the place that we are justified. They're both very, very important. And we're going to see that difference as we go through chapter 6 and 7 and especially chapter 8. Now, chapter 6 begins with the question. In fact, let me just kind of read it in verse 1, chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? And that's really a good question. In fact, many times when I'm kind of going through the book of Romans, I get someone asking that question, and maybe not exactly like this, but basically the question is, well, wait a minute. If God's grace kind of takes care of us, what's the point? Can't we just kind of stay the way we are? Because after all, when God's grace is total, it's complete, it's wonderful. And especially if you kind of look up in chapter 5, verse 20, it says, the law came in so that the transgression would increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. And so the question would be, well, why don't we just continue in sin? Because grace will just abound more. And of course, the answer in chapter 2 is, may it never be. How shall we who have died to sin still live in it? And at that point, he introduces the whole topic of sanctification, that yes, justification is important, it's complete, but there's another side that God doesn't want to just leave us in our old way of thinking, acting, our old attitudes. He wants to change us. He wants to transform us. He wants to bring us to a place of being holy. He wants to make us, well, as Romans 8 says, to the place that we're conformed into his image. So let's kind of look in verse 3 through 5 to start with. It says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through death, through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead for the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we've become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Okay, let's stop right there. And here we see two parts of what Jesus did for us, you know. And so far the focus has been on the first, his dying for us, his blood, you know, providing that gift of justification, that gift of righteousness. And that's very, very important. Jesus died for us. He paid the price at the cross. He forgave us our sins. His blood was shed that we might be declared righteous. He gives us eternal life. This is all a result of Jesus dying at the cross. But also, Jesus was raised from the dead. And that gives us new life with a new power. Like it says here in verse 4, it says, so that we might walk in newness of life. In other words, that we would be able to rise above sin. God's plan was not just to justify us declare us righteous, and then leave us the same old person. God wants to bring us into a new way of living, a new power in the inner man. And that's what the resurrection does. Both are important. And by the way, you can't do the second, you know, unless you have the first. And I think sometimes if someone's not truly born again, they try to live out the Christian life. And you know what? They can't do it. It's impossible, isn't it? It's frustrating for them. So how does all this happen? Well, it says very clearly here that we are united with him. And that's a concept that a lot of Christians just, it's really simple, but somehow it's hard to grasp that we are united with him in his death. We're united with him in his burial. We're united with him in his resurrection. What does that mean? Well, if we are united with him in his death, that means that if he died, which he did, we died too. And of course, that's referring to our old life, the old self, the old man, depending on what translation you're using. Or I could say, in my case, the old Mike. Death was necessary for me to have new life in Christ. And so there's a union with him. And that's very important for us to understand. And we're also united with him in his resurrection, it says. He resurrected, and so we resurrected too. And that brings with us that I'm now a new creation in Christ. There's new life in him. And that's the mystery of the regeneration or being born again. It's something that happens that's supernatural. So when we make a decision to follow Jesus and receive his gift of righteousness or his gift of justification, we immediately identify with him. We make an identification with him. And again, it's something supernatural. Many times in the New Testament, it talks about being in Christ. That's what we're talking about. A supernatural union takes place. And this is illustrated, according to these verses here, with water baptism. You know, in other words, you know, we die with him, and so we're buried with him, and then we are resurrected with him as we come out of the water. And so water baptism is really a beautiful picture of our union with him and what has happened to us if we've truly become born again. And by the way, we can't bury someone until they're dead, right? And I think that's why infant baptism just doesn't make any sense. Why are you going to try to bury someone if they're still alive? You know, you have to wait till they die, which is what happens when we become identified with him in his death. Only makes sense. Sometimes I kind of use this example that if you take one of you listening and they try to bury you, put you in a coffin, put you down, and you're still alive, you're not going to fight that. You know, wait a minute. You made a mistake. I'm still alive. And, but in the case of biblical water baptism, we bury someone in the water because, like in my case, the old Mike has died. And water baptism is a picture and maybe even a declaration that I've died in Christ. But the new Mike, there's also a new Mike that's been resurrected. And therefore, we've been risen with Christ. So baptism is really a picture of this supernatural work of God inside of us, this supernatural union with him. Okay, let's kind of jump down to verse 6. And in fact, why don't we go ahead and read the rest of the passage for today, 7 through 11. For he who has died is freed from sin. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Verse 6, it says, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Okay, so verse 6. Knowing this, and I want you to kind of look at that word knowing, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. This is one of the most important verses in the Bible. Actually, for years, if you had asked me, what's my favorite verse in the Bible, I would have said Romans 6:6, you know, because it gives the reason for the death of our old person. And it starts off knowing this fact that our old self was crucified with him. You know, that's a powerful word in Greek, much more than it is in English or even in Spanish. It's more than a head knowledge. It means that it's something that's been deeply rooted in our minds and in our hearts. And by the way, it's something that comes by way of revelation. That, oh, what? I've been crucified with Christ. And it's in order that my body of sin might be done away with. And why is that? So that I'd no longer be slave to sin. That takes a revelation. And by the way, other places talk about this too. A couple of verses that we probably all have heard many times. Some of you perhaps have even memorized this, but Galatians 2, verse 20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Again, I've been crucified with Christ. And because of that, there's a new life inside of me. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, in other words, we have a union with him, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. So if we're in Christ, all the old life, the old me is done away with. And what? Behold, there's new things. And this is very important for us to understand that I've been crucified. I've died with Christ. And by the way, I could probably point out 5 or 6 other places where it talks about this. And the reason, according to Romans 6:6, is that I would no longer be a slave to sin. That's important. Jesus says that anyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Actually, let's look at John 8. Jesus has a conversation with the Pharisees and some of the religious leaders. And he starts off, let's kind of look at verse 31. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered him. They kind of thought, they didn't like what he said about the truth will make you free. We are Abraham's descendants and have never been enslaved to anyone. Which, by the way, wasn't really true, but that's the way they saw it. How is it that you say we will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. So according to verse 6 in Romans 6, the old person that was a slave died with Christ. And that's important for us to realize. Before, we were really slaves to sin. And I know sometimes we kind of, we're deceived and think, oh no, I was free to do what I wanted. No, you're really a slave to sin because you couldn't stop it. Now, sure, we can still sin, but we're not enslaved to sin anymore. And that's something, well, like we said in Romans 6:6, we got to have a heart revelation on that I am no longer a slave to sin because of what Jesus did. I'm no longer a slave to sin. You have to know that down in your heart and in your mind for you to be able to get very far on this road of sanctification. We have lived our lives dominated by sin. Some were bigger ones, some were addictions, but many were what we kind of call lesser sins, but they kind of keep us living like everybody else. I'm talking about things like selfishness. Yeah, that's a sin. Pride, greed, bad attitudes toward others, grumbling and complaining. Yeah, that's in there too. That lack of rejoicing and being thankful. We were slaves to these things. And we might have tried to say, you know, I'm going to start rejoicing now. And, you know, we might can make some surface changes, but we still are slaves, or we were slaves. We just couldn't help but do that. But now there's a newness of life. Our old life was crucified with him. And we have to understand that before we can understand that now we have a new life. We can't get a new life until we recognize the old self was crucified, has died with Christ. Okay, then in verse 8, it says, now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And it actually kind of mentions this a couple of times, that it's one thing for us to know this, but then we need to take another step and we need to believe it. You know, and so going beyond just knowing, yes, I believe that I have died with Christ, and I believe also that I'm going to live with him. And so we have to come to the place that we say, yes, I believe that Romans 6:6 truth. It's for me, not just for other people. It's for now, not just for later. We have to know before we believe. And of course, as we said, knowing takes a heart revelation. Believing is something, and we've talked about this before, believing or faith is not just a feeling. If you connect faith with a feeling, you're going to be deceived. You're always going to be up and down. But we take it by faith. Yes, Lord, I believe that. And then in verse 11, it says, even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now, when it says consider yourselves, that's another area, another Greek word that's just kind of weak as it's been translated into English. Translators have tried to come up with a good word. Sometimes, especially some of the older translations, they'll say reckon yourselves to be dead to sin. Sometimes there's some translation says kind of is reliable, but that's not really kind of exactly accurate too. It's what I would, one way you could look at it is I settle it as true. And it's like settlers driving a stake into the ground to claim their ground. Most of you kind of know I was a history major in college, and I love history. And a fascinating act of legislature was in 1882, there was the Homestead Act. And basically it said that if you go west where no one has claimed the land, you can get 160 acres free, you know. But this is what you have to do. You have to stake it out. And so you get the stake and you say, okay, this is mine. You do those four corners or, you know, you kind of measure out the boundaries, 160 acres. And then you also had to kind of live on it for at least 5 years. And then if you did that, you got a deed from the government that that was yours. And I think that's what kind of, that's the way I picture this, consider yourself. You know, I know it, I believe it, but now I'm going to consider it settled. I'm going to stake it out. This is mine. It's a truth that I'm going to hold on to, and I'm going to live there. Sometimes we call that appropriating a truth. In other words, we're going to receive it as ours, and we're going to say, yes, that's mine. And that's a very important part of this. So what we're kind of seeing here, this Romans 6:6, let me just read it again. Our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. We need a heart revelation to know that. And then we need to take another step, and we need to believe it. And then we need to kind of take it even another step and consider it as true, reliable, put a stake in it, that I am dead to sin, but I'm alive to God. Because if you get this truth, the road of sanctification is all of a sudden going to become, you're going to be able to understand it, and it will be possible. If you don't get this, sanctification, you're just going to be sputtering along. And you know, you might make some headway, but it's going to seem like sometimes I'm taking one step forward and two steps backwards. But if you can get hold of this truth, it will make a difference. So again, the first step is appropriate in appropriating God's truth is to see it, that is to know it. Then we believe it, and then we consider it as a fact for my life. I make it personal. The deed is written out to me because I've staked it out and I've decided to live there. Okay, so in conclusion, we've talked about our union with Christ, a very important principle for us to get. That I've died with Christ and I've resurrected with Christ. And a lot of places talk about it. By the way, Ephesians talks about this quite a bit. We've also sort of today, we've kind of looked at Romans 6:6. Very important. Knowing this, that our old self is crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with. Why? So that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Do we know this? Do we have heart revelation of that? And then do we believe it? And may the Lord give us revelation of these things and open our eyes to these truths. If you're still foggy about this, I understand, because it just doesn't make sense in our natural human understanding. But what I would suggest is you pray and read over this passage, especially Romans 6:6, over and over and over. And yes, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be hitting this from a kind of a different angle. And make sure you kind of listen in. But really ask God to reveal this to you and make it clear to you. And if you are beginning to see these things, then it's time to drive a stake in the ground. Yes, this is mine. This truth is given to me, and I'm putting the stake down today. And yes, it's been given to me, not by the government, but by someone who's much more trustworthy, and that is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we've talked about a lot of things here, but Lord, as in a lot of things, we need a heart revelation of these things. And I just pray for everyone who's listening that we would get a heart revelation of these things. Thank you, Lord. Amen.